5 o'clock somewhere. 5 o'clock right here, actually. 5 o'clock hour, the Burns and Gambo show live from the Auction Community Studios. John Gambadero, Dave Burns, where, yes, we both showed up for work today.
Try to think.
Gambo was the last one in the building today.
Yes.
Not to throw you under the bus, but
no, it's okay.
Gambo
it's
was the first one.
I did.
I don't know who the first one in the building was.
To get a salad.
Who was the first one in the building? Was it Jordan?
My money's on Jordan Bird.
Yeah.
You were the first one in the building?
Yeah, I rolled in at the early hour of 12 noon.
Congratulations. You win the Josh Rosen Award.
All-time hustle award.
There it is.
The Josh Rosen Award goes to Jordan Bird, everybody, for being the first employee of the Burns and Gambo show to walk through the door today. Congratulations, Jordan.
Birdsy, I want you to beat him tomorrow. I got my money on you.
It takes a real commitment to get here before noon. Just FYI.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, to be fair, a lot of us, Gambo and I in particular, do a lot of work from home before we get here, but yeah, we typically roll in about 1 o'clock in the afternoon for a 2 o'clock show. We're not exactly the first one in the building and the last to leave. That's not exactly our mantra around here.
If we're going stationwide, it has to be Erin Maloney. She gets here at like 4 a.m.
Usually earlier than 4.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. She's here early. If you were the producer of the morning show, yeah, you got to be
the first one in.
You'd have to be the first one.
You've got to be the first one.
You'd have to. There'd be no other. I mean, the host can get away with not being here that early, but the producer would have to be here.
And for her show, early. The last one out.
And exactly. Oh yeah, those guys. Well, we should do a power poll one of these days on the host who typically spends the least amount of time here before leaving to go home every day. Boy, that would be.
We already know who wins.
No. Oh no. Don't put your finger in him. No, it's not Gambo.
It's not me.
It's not Gambo.
Does someone else leave mid-segment? I don't know how they would get faster than you.
No,
mid-segment?
No, sometimes, I'm saying someone else if they're going to beat you.
Yeah, sometimes I leave before Gambo. Sometimes I actually, but there is one host here in particular who...
Like a bat out of hell.
Are we going to name names? Are we going to do rhyming? Like, how do I learn who this is?
Rhymes with thickly.
Fan.
Ban like, thickly. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong that fan bickly.
Oh, you can't say it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
That. You can't
ban
say
Ban Fickley. Yeah, that's right. Ban Fickley. Tell me that Ban Fickley does not have like a bat out of hell, baby.
I see Vinny taking his headphones off and Bickley's car is going around the parking lot. Vinny hasn't taken his headphones off yet. It's true. I walk in here and Vinny's taking his headphones off and I see Bickley's car on the road making a left with the turning signal on.
Throwing the deuces up.
Oh
bye.
My God. That's so funny. That is so funny. All right. So on. Sorry, fan. Didn't mean to throw you under the bus like that, but it's truth hits everybody, baby. Anyway, Josh Rosen was the first to show up today. Today was the first day of the voluntary workouts, and as Ian Rappaport reporting on the NFL Network said, not only was Rosen there like we all expected him to be, he was the first one in the building.
The Cardinals do want him in the building. And not only that, Andrew, he was the first in the building for the Arizona Cardinals, which makes sense why there's no social media video. It sounds like he beat whoever was running the team's Instagram account actually to the building. And if you know Josh Rosen, this is really not a surprise. And one of his teammates, former teammates, Marcus Golden, was tweeting at me right after I put this up on Twitter that this is the way Rosen was last year, too.
All right. And good. Good. He obviously needed to be there. He didn't need to be the first one there, but perception matters. And obviously, just the fact that a national reporter with the prominence of Ian Rappaport, who's mentioning that he was the first one there, that on some perceptual level, that matters. People are going to, oh, cool, he was the first one there. He was excited to be there. He understood he needed to be the first one there. What I want to know is,
how did he get out?
Yeah. Like who?
His agent, I am going to wake you up. Keep your phone on. I'm going to get you out. You got to be the first one there. I got to let everybody know. He's the first one there.
Right.
He's got a great work ethic. Who wants to trade for him?
Who?
Like, I don't know. I don't know why. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
In the history of doing this show.
Yes.
Who the first person was at voluntary workouts has never once come up before ever.
Never.
Never. I've done this radio show for 22 years. It's never come up who the first one was at voluntary workouts. Who was the first one there? Who was it? Why is this such a big deal that Rosen was the first? 22 years doing this, I've never once talked about who is the first one that showed up at the voluntary workouts. Who cares? I mean, honestly, who cares? Who's the first one there? What, do you want a medal? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, boy, give him a medal.
Give him a medal.
Give him a lollipop.
Give him a lollipop.
Give him a lollipop. Like, this is ridiculous.
You know what? You said that so well. I thought Jordan played that on tape. That was actually you. That was a brilliant recreation of your own.
Give him a medal. Like, he's the first one there. I mean, wow. Yay. Okay. Give him a lollipop.
There it is.
I'm serious. Like this is honestly ridiculous. This is insane.
It took you 3 hours and 9 minutes to figure out?
It's absolutely ridiculous that we are sitting here talking about who the first person was at the... He was the first one there. He was there before anybody else was. Who cares? Is he on time? What time do you need to be there? Yes, he was on time. I don't want him to be late. And I don't need him to be the first. He can be the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. As long as he's not late. I don't want him to be the last. Hey, every play was there and then Rosen came in. Yeah. I prefer he not be the last. But listen, this like I can't believe that this is like Ian Rappaport is tweet. Josh Rosen was the first one to show up at He beat everybody there.
Well, then what was funny about it was, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut off your rant there. Marcus Golden, former teammate of Josh Rosen, not even with the organization anymore, tweeted out he was the first one in the building as a rookie too. Great guy and player.
I thought maybe it had something to do with the agent.
And not to be cynical, I was just going to say, we looked it up just to make sure they had different agents, right? Just to make sure that, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you send out a tweet about Josh Rosen? And look, it obviously, and I hear what you're saying, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. At some point, it kind of crosses into the ridiculous territory. It's probably already there, okay? But obviously, somebody somewhere, be it Josh Rosen's representation or somebody with the Arizona Cardinals, thought it was important enough to get out to a national reporter the prominence of Ian Rappaport that he was the first one in the building.
Prominence.
For some perceptual reason.
Right.
Some
fake reason.
For just
like it means something.
Like it somehow matters.
It means that he's a leader. It means that he cares. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean he could still be a leader if he's the fifth one there. He could still care if he's the eighth one there.
Amen. Look, I'm glad you're saying this because you're 100%
true. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm literally like this is like a Josh Rosen. I mean, if you type in Josh Rosen's name, is that what's going to come up? Josh Rosen, first Cardinals. Let me see. Yeah, no, I'm looking. I'm just trying to say Josh Rosen showed up early to work. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so did millions and millions of other people in this country showed up early to work. They're not getting anything for it. And I get a medal. Hey, was anybody listening right now? Were you the first one at work today? Yeah.
Well,
who's the first guy at the UPS station? Who was the first guy at the FedEx station? Who's the first landscaper that showed up to get ready for the crew?
But see, this is where you're wrong.
How about my Coca-Cola driver?
We gave Jordan Bird the Josh Rosen first one to work medal. He actually, Jordan did.
I believe Sarah referred to it as the Hustle Award.
The Josh Rosen Hustle Award, yes.
The Josh Rosen Hustle Award. My God. Where we've gone worse. To.
You're last.
Who's the guy who did the Shane Doan cell phone plaque that we gave him?
Did Anthony come up with that? Anthony in promotion? Remember when we gave him the cell phone plaque?
Yeah. Why do you want to give Josh Rosen?
Oh, well, I think we should have like a plaque around here that we hand off to whoever the first one is.
Yeah, I think we should have a plaque made for Jordan.
Well, no, does that go on a day-by-day basis? So like if Burnsy's the first one tomorrow, do I have to hand off the trophy to Burnsy?
You're supposed to be here before us.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, if
like,
you guys...
you're supposed to be here. Yeah. You're the producer. You've got to get here before us.
Just kind of like an NFL quarterback, right?
Oh, full circle moment.
What time's your first update?
It depends on the day, because I'm coming from another job, which I leave my house at 6:45
Are you the first one at that job?
I am.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yes, yeah, I am.
So maybe you should get the award from that job. Maybe they should give you an award.
I'll create my own hustle award.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if the award goes out to the person who's usually the last one to get here, I'll say it. That's usually me. I mean, I'll just call it like it is. That's you. I'm usually,
that's called the 120 award.
I mean, I'll admit it. I do not
right.
run.
Is anybody reporting who the last Cardinal guy was?
I was the last Cardinal to report for duty today. I showed up, but I brought everybody coffee, so I was good. Yeah. I guess
nobody mentioned who the last person was.
True.
No, right? Just nope. For and if it was anybody else, nobody would have known who it was.
No.
I mean, anybody, we wouldn't have known.
It's not a mock draft, but one prominent NFL writer is sharing what he thinks the Cardinals should do with the number one pick. Does it differ from what everyone else is predicting? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
Here's the Knowledge Drop we're going to drop on you today. The struggles of Baltimore Orioles first baseman Chris Davis.
God.
They continue.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
He's already got a pair of lineouts in his first two at-bats tonight against the A's.
So he's tied the record?
He has tied the record for consecutive hitless at-bats at 46. His streak dates back to September 14th of last year.
Wow.
Chris Davis entered Monday's action with four walks and two RBIs. He had struck out 13 times in 27 trips to the
plate.
You
know what I didn't know? I was reading about that story, and there was a player we're familiar with who had like a, I think it was like a 43-game hitless streak, Craig Counsell.
When he was with the Diamondbacks?
I don't remember when he was at some point in his career, he went like 43. Because they were saying his record beats this record and that record.
And,
it was
and
Craig
was
Counsell had like a 43-game streak of not getting a
hit. That's crazy. That's crazy stuff. That's the Knowledge Drop today as we welcome you back to the Burns and Gambo Show. Peter King is one of the premier football writers in America, so much so that he's actually got a column called Football Morning in America, which is every Monday on NBCSports.com, longtime Sports Illustrated writer. Now he's over at NBC. He wants to make it very clear that what he wrote this morning in Football Morning in America is not a mock draft. This is not a mock draft, he writes. Rather, with some education gleaned from calls to those who know in the last few days, he writes, I'm going to tell you what I think each team should do when the first round kicks off in Nashville.
Not what they will do, but what I think that they should do.
Here's what he thinks they should do at number one if you're the Arizona Cardinals. Quote, I wouldn't even consider offers unless they're ridiculously excessive. Picking Kyler Murray here just makes too much sense with Kingsbury in love with him. GM Steve Keim has to figure if I hired this offensive innovator as coach and he wants Murray badly, why would we not give him what he wants? Even with a devalued Rosen going east, and I'll have more on that in a second, this is a move Arizona has to make.
And Peter King's
estimation. A lot of people feel that way. I mean, the question is, do the Cardinals feel that way? Do they feel like they have to make this decision?
You could get all the input you want from Cliff Kingsbury, who's going to tell you that, look, I could work with either quarterback, but there is something special about this kid. I could probably get you to where you need to go a lot faster and a lot easier with this kid. I mean, that might be the case. I'm sure that if they said, listen, we're going to draft Nick Bosa, you've got Josh Rosen, that Cliff Kingsbury is going to want to make a career in the NFL, and he's going to have to do the best he can with Josh Rosen. You could say this makes all the sense in the world, but does it to the Cardinals? Does this make sense to the Cardinals? Most people believe that they're going to do this, but we've talked about this a lot. Last year, a month before the draft, every expert out there had the Cleveland Browns taking either Sam Darnold or Josh Allen.
Yep.
Nobody had him taking Baker Mayfield.
Nope.
So we don't know if this is a smokescreen. We don't know yet. Now, Kyler Murray will be in town this week.
You reported that on Friday.
We'll be here this week.
And you and I both agree on certainly on this topic, that by the time that visit is complete, whenever it happens later this week, the Arizona Cardinals at that point need to know. If they
you
don't
have to know.
Already know, at that point you need to know what you're going
to
do.
Now, you can still keep it to yourself and keep it quiet and play this, you know, play this out so you can get as much for Rosen as you can if you're taking Murray, or if you're not taking Murray, you could, you know, start your fielding offers for the number one pick. See, there's two scenarios here. There's the trade offers that you could get with teams that are interested in Rosen, and the trade offers you could get with teams that are interested for Murray.
Absolutely.
So there's two different, like, you're having discussions on two different things with trades.
tweets.
And let's cover the news on both the news. The speculation, I don't want to call it news because it's probably giving it more credit than it is. But the speculation on both of those fronts, okay? On the trade Rosen front, Peter King wrote about that also today on Football Morning in America. And he said from what he's understood, the team with the best shot of landing him is the Washington Redskins. But that there is some, the market is still very cloudy for Josh Rosen. Of Washington, he writes that I think Washington could try to hold out and pay Arizona the 76th overall pick instead of the 46th. Now, whether that's going to fly, whether that gets them Josh Rosen, I don't know. But he thinks Washington really wants to give up their third rounder and the Cardinals are really going to push for the second rounder. He's got Washington number one as the most likely destination for Rosen. He's got the Giants as number two. They've got the 6th, the 17th, the 37th, and the 95th pick. He says, in his opinion, the Giants really don't want to give up 37 and the Cardinals really don't want to take 95.
So what's happened to the extra pick they got in the Odell Beckham trade, 17. What's happened to Washington's 15th? What is that like all this talk a week ago was what first round pick they're going to get? And that's when you started to hear, you know what? Screw it. We'll just hold on to him.
Yep.
We'll trade him.
Just about every national reporter worth his salt was basically saying that last week. Hey, the Cardinals could just keep both of them, which kind of sounds like a response to,
well, that's a threat.
Oh, crap, we're not getting the offers we thought we were going to get. Yeah. We better let everyone know we're not kidding around here. We'll keep both if we don't get the offer that we want.
Bradford was traded to Minnesota in August. So if something happens and a team needs a quarterback, they could always do something in August rather than jump at a trade that they don't feel like they really like.
You asked about that pick they got in the Odell Beckham Jr. trade. Peter King speculates that maybe the Giants could try to deal that 17th pick for more picks, like a second rounder and a third rounder from somebody else, and then use those picks to go get Josh Rosen.
Why don't you just give him 17 then?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe you get a second and a third, and you give him a second and a fourth.
Yeah, maybe. Or you give him a second and next year's
you don't
second,
want to give
him, or something like that.
If you
right?
get a second and a third, you might say, okay, I'm going to keep the third. I'll give you a second and a fourth, so I get a little value there.
So he's got those two teams on the top of his list. He says Denver, maybe, but unlikely. Miami, maybe, but unlikely. He eliminated New England. He goes, I just don't sense there's interest there. I'd all but eliminate the Chargers now that Tyrod Taylor got $6 million guaranteed over the next 2 years. So that's kind of what he says on the Rosen front. On the trade the number one pick front, saw a story this morning on cardswire.com, and I guess our colleague, our friend Mike Jarecki over at azcardinals.com had suggested on a recent Cardinals broadcast, a Cardinals podcast, that he believes it's going to take all three of Oakland's first-round picks for them to get the number one pick from the Cardinals. They're at 4, 24, and 27. The writer of the piece on CardsWire said, I think it might be more two firsts and a second to get the number
one
pick.
But here's the question, and this is interesting. I've had some guys tweet me on this, too. Because I said, I don't know that that's a definite. I don't know that I definitely do that. I mean, because some people think that, okay, you have to do that.
If you get three
first
ones.
Round picks, you have to trade. You have to trade. The only thing that I'll say to that, in all honesty, is like if you truly believe that Murray is a franchise quarterback that could lead you to places you've never been before,
then you don't make that deal.
What does 4, 24, and 27 mean to you? It's just three players.
Yep.
You know, it's a defensive tackle, an offensive lineman, and a wide receiver. Like a franchise quarterback trumps all of that.
Totally agree.
It trumps it. So if you can get, if you don't love Murray and you could get that haul,
then
by
run.
All means, then make the trade.
Yeah.
But if you're like, man, Murray's going to be, we're going to trade this guy for three first round picks, but we truly believe that Murray's going to lead this team to three Super Bowls. Well, then you're nuts.
Yeah.
Keep Murray because a great quarterback trumps three first round picks.
Got an amen from the congregation over here on that one. He's the greatest player we have ever had the honor to watch here in Arizona. But it does beg the question. Why exactly was he involved in the Suns front office search? We'll talk a little Larry Fitzgerald and Robert Sarver next on the Burns and Gambo Show. D-backs take 2 of 3 from the Boston Red Sox. The national championship game is set tonight. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. The speculation continues. Josh Rosen showed up for work today. It was the first one in the building, according to reports. The Kyler Murray speculation continues. He's coming in for a visit later this week. We're not exactly sure the day, but Gambo reported that late last week. There's so much stuff going on locally in sports right now, and yet I can't shake this belief. And maybe this is me. Maybe I'm not speaking for anybody else other than me. The story that was at the top of my mind today after I got done with show prep, this Larry Fitzgerald sitting in on the Robert Server, Jeff Bauer interview story. That is, it's probably nothing. In fact, I don't think it's really anything at all. But it's just so unnecessarily strange.
Yes.
Right? That's the best phrase I can come up. It's so strange, and it didn't need to be. Why the hell is Larry Fitzgerald sitting in the room when Robert Sarver's trying to figure out who's running his basketball operation?
One, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But two, I mean, it's weird. It is weird, right? I mean, it's, you know, you wouldn't be expecting, you know, Devin Booker to be sitting in on any interviews that Michael Bidwell is doing for the head coach.
Right.
Right?
No, exactly.
Michael Bidwell and Steve Keim are interviewing Cliff Kingsbury, and Devin Booker's there to just give some advice. No, Michael, let me tell you something.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like, it's just weird. It's a little weird.
And that's what
if you don't want to use Booker because he's too young, Shane Doan.
Yes.
It's Shane Doan. It's,
hey, I've invited
Michael
Shane
Bidwell
Doan
and
to help
Steve
us figure out.
Keim, or they're interviewing Kyler Murray, and Shane Doan's in the room. I'll give you my advice. I don't know anything about football, but Canadian.
It's the truth.
You know, I can read people. I ride horses.
I'm a cowboy. And being a cowboy,
a Sooner. You know, that's the connection there. I can give you a good read. But that's what it would be.
But don't call me because my cell phone sucks and the reception is terrible.
Sucks, but I'll be there.
I won't pick up. Probably it'll go right to phone mail because my cell phone. But it is. It's and that's what I wrote down.
Did you do any bull riding?
I screwed it up. I wrote it down in my notes. It's needlessly weird. It's not good or bad necessarily. I don't think it's a bad thing. I definitely don't think it's a bad thing. Larry Fitzgerald was there. It's just so needless, and it's so weird, and all it does is further the perception, and I guess this is why it could be bad. It just furthers the perception of how unconventional they've been doing things over there for the last 10 years, and I'm tired of unconventional when it comes to the Suns. Can a brother get a little conventional? Just a little conventional. Mm. Just a little standard operating procedure, normal, do things the way everybody else does, hire GMs the way everybody else does. Can we just have a little bit of that? Does everything have to be so darn unconventional with the Phoenix Suns that you have the star wide receiver in for general manager interviews? It's just needlessly weird.
It's like Kurt Warner in with John Chaika. Let's go over these kids in the draft that you're looking at. Guy skates fast. Can he shoot? How about a goalie? No, you got a goalie. I think you're good.
It'd be like you, like if your best friend in the world runs a high-powered accounting firm. Hey, Gamble, we're going to be intern. We're going to be.
Don't you know who my friends are?
I know. Work with me here. Work with me. Your friends are
That's
not.
Funny.
Your friends are not running high powered accounting firms. You're right. I went for the extreme because I was trying to make a point. Hey, Gambo, we're going to be interviewing CFOs this week. I really want your insight. Will you sit in on them?
Sure.
Yeah, not really my field of expertise there, Dan. But I appreciate it. Thank you. We'll do. I mean, come on. It's bizarro.
It is. But here's what I think it is. I don't think it's anything more than this. There is a unique friendship between Robert Sarver and Larry Fitzgerald. Robert Sarver has been a very successful businessman for many, many years, decades, and Larry Fitzgerald is very interested in business. And he trusts Robert Sarver to help him with finances and investments and things like that. And I think it's just a mentorship. I don't think it's anything. I don't think Larry Fitzgerald actually has a say in it. I think it's just a mentorship.
No.
I think he's just mentoring him. And he doesn't care. Like, if you think Robert Sarver cares about what anybody thinks, that he's friends with Fitz. those guys have, like, you know, I think they've gone on vacation. They know each other very well. And it seems like he's mentoring him. He's just helping him. And I don't think Robert Sarver cares if anybody thinks anything of it. This is my friend, and he's trying to get into business, and he's trying to learn things, and I've got the ability to help him, so I'm going to help him.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, I agree with you on a couple of fronts. Number one, I think you're absolutely right. I think Robert does not care. He does not care what I think. He does not care what you think. If he thinks it's something he wants to do, he's going to do it.
That's fine. No saying anything.
And number two, I also think you're right in that it's not like Larry's... It's not like he's going to cast the tie-breaking vote here or anything, right? It's not like he's going to go, you know what? I know James wants this guy, and Robert, you want that guy.
Larry,
I choose that guy.
Who do you want, Larry? Larry's a very smart, very bright guy, okay? He's got an education. He's spoken before the 32 NFL owners at the owners' meetings. He's got up and spoke for 7-8 minutes. I mean, he's a very articulate guy. He's a very smart guy. He's a very bright guy, and he wants to learn, and he's got a willingness to learn. So if he's got an opportunity to do that through his friendship with Robert Sarver, then by all means, anybody that's trying to read into this any more than that, I think it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
I would tend to agree.
It's different. It's different,
and that's,
but
and
it's
that's,
not a big deal.
And that's ultimately my problem, is this organization seems to thrive on the different, and the different hasn't worked. So let's go with the not different. Let's go with the way that other people have done it, rather than trying to continually find new and creative ways to not win basketball games. They're great at finding new and creative ways of not winning basketball games. I just wish they travel the path well traveled and not the one less traveled. In the meantime, I got something for you.
Oh, okay.
Arizona sports breaking news.
Okay, I hope this was worth it. According to John Rothstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports, Sports Illustrated, and WFAN. And it's his verified Twitter account. According to sources, Chris Mullen is expected to step down as head coach of St. John's. Official announcement expected next week. He followed that up with a tweet. According to sources, Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley is expected to be at the top of St. John's list to replace Chris Mullen.
I heard a story in ESPN the other day. Chris Mullen is our head coach. That the athletic director made a public show of support for Chris Mullen amid rumblings that the coach's relationship with the administration had become rocky. So Chris Mullen could... Bobby, listen, I would worry a little bit. Bobby Hurley, with his ties to New Jersey and that market, and St. John's is in the Big East. I mean, I don't... I would... It's not a great job, okay? It's not a St. John's is not what it used to be when Louis Carnesecca was there, and I went to the Final Four with Chris Mullen and Walter Berry and Mark Jackson and Bill Wennington. It's not that job anymore. It's not. I mean, they don't have a football program at St. John's.
The conference is even what it once was.
The conference is still good. It's not what it used to be.
It's not what it used to
but
be.
But it's still a good conference.
But if you're good in that conference, you're going to get into the tournament.
Yes.
If you're good in the Pac-12, there's no guarantee you're going to get in the tournament. Not with the state of the conference the way it is now. Now, that can change.
The Big East is better. I mean, it's a better basketball conference. I mean, there's no question.
Now,
it's better.
Again, I want to reiterate this. He's not reporting that the job has been offered or accepted or that he's leaving. These are just back-to-back tweets that John Rothstein sent out from CBS Sports. According to sources, Chris Mullen is expected to step down as head coach of St. John's. Official announcement expected this week. And then within a minute after that tweet, according to sources, ASU head coach Bobby Hurley is expected to be at the top of St. John's list to replace Chris Mullen.
I don't know that that is a big jump up. Okay, you get to recruit New York.
Yep.
A lot of kids, and that you're from that area. The biggest draw for Bobby Hurley would be that he's from that area. He's got friends, he's got family there. He grew up in Jersey. His father's a legendary coach. The Big East is a good conference. They play games at Alumni Hall and also at Madison Square Garden. So, I mean, that is a lure. But St. John's overall has not been a successful program. It hasn't been a successful program.
No, it has not.
In decades. It's been decades. They used to be great once. They're not anymore. So does Bobby Hurley leave ASU? Well, he's starting to build something and gain some momentum to go take over St. John's program. It's kind of been stuck in the mud for many, many years.
We'll see.
Since Karnisecca left.
Just because he is their top target does not mean
that he's going to take that job.
Reciprocal. It doesn't mean that's where he wants to go.
I would think he could do if I was him, I would aspire for a little bit better. And I love St. John's, but I would aspire for a better job than St. John's.
Tomorrow is Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We are giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the D-backs take on the Padres on Saturday. And a reminder, the first 20,000 fans are going to get an Archie Bradley bobble gnome. Listen at 7:15 a.m., 10:15 a.m., 12:15 and 4:15 p.m. tomorrow for your chance to win. Certainly not the splashiest of moves, but what the Cardinals did today could be one of the most underrated signings of the offseason. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadero, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Arizona Cardinals, in addition to all the speculation about Josh Rosen, I would presume we would hear from Josh Rosen tomorrow. I don't know that for a fact. There was no media availability today on the first day of offseason workouts, but he, as we've talked many times, he was there. He was reportedly the first one there, whatever value you want into that. But Josh Rosen was there and the first one there to work. We've already kind of mocked that earlier in this hour.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Gets a great little ribbon for being the first one there. Yeah,
but
ridiculous.
I will be curious, and I'm not trying to look too much into this. I'll be curious to see what he says and probably more importantly how he says it when he does talk to the media. I'm sure he's been coached up. I'm sure his agent has coached him up on how to respond to these questions and things like that. But we'll see. We'll see how he answers these, because I'm sure it's been a stressful time for him the last couple of months. And how he projects that when he's asked about it, I'll be curious to see how he pulls that off.
Nothing but
if that happens tomorrow.
Nothing but professional today is my understanding of what went down. He was very professional, came to work. He was in great spirits, nothing was bothering him. I mean, so that's just, you know, what I'm hearing. Again, no media availability, but the word I'm getting from inside there was that, yeah. Hey, he was very professional. He didn't let any of that stuff bother him. Nothing was talked about, discussed. He just came and he did his work.
And then, of course, the other news from the Cardinals is that Kyler Murray will visit later this week. You had that on Friday, but we've been talking about that today as well for a visit with the Cards.
Yeah, I'm thinking Thursday, but it could be Wednesday or Friday, sometime later this week, he will be here for a visit.
The actual news that came down today about the Cardinals, in addition to the opening of off-season workouts, was the re-signing of Rodney Gunter, which I think quietly is one of the better moves of the offseason.
It's interesting that a guy who had such a good year, right? Every statistic shows that he had a good year, right? The fact that he didn't have a lot of interest out there, there was interest from Green Bay. He had visited with Green Bay. He had met. There was some interest from them, but he didn't get any big offers.
Yeah.
And then eventually you come back to the Cardinals. They worked the deal. I believe the deal is for less than $2 million with incentives. So it's not a lot of money to get Rodney Gunter back. He was a good player for them last year, and they get him because there just wasn't a lot of interest. A lot of teams had spent their money, and then he got left out in the cold, but he had to settle for what he believes is going to be a below market deal.
It is just so surprising. He had his best season last year. He had 4.5 sacks. He had 48 tackles. He had a couple of forced fumbles. He was definitely a solid part of that D-line rotation. He had a career-best defensive grade last year for Pro Football Focus. I don't know if he was going to get paid, but I certainly thought he was going to have teams kind of competing for his services to be a part of their defensive line rotation. Did he want too much? Did he price himself out of the market? I have no idea. At the end of the day, he's back. It's on a one-year prove-it deal, so he's presumably going to be motivated to play well. And I think finally, for the first time, we can look at that defensive line now, at least say from the starting standpoint.
They're in good shape.
They got depth.
Yep.
They're in good shape. They got depth behind those guys. They probably still need to address it in the draft. Maybe not with Quinn and Williams, but somewhere in the draft. They need to get more depth on that defensive line and younger guys they can start filtering through. But certainly with Filon and with Peters and now with Gunter back, that to me is a defensive line I can go into the season and live with on the Cardinals. I think that's a good going back to 3-4. I like that line.
They wanted him back, but obviously we weren't going to pay him what, you know, everybody's asking prices through the roof when they hit free agency. Some guys get it and some guys don't. And the guys that don't eventually have to come back. And not that they're groveling back, but they have to come back and have to accept a deal that's below what they wanted to sign for. And again, my understanding, it's less than $2 million with some incentives to get Rodney Gunter, who had a good year. I mean, it's, and listen, he'll be motivated because it's a contract year. So he'll be motivated to go out there and play well. So yeah, good signing by the Arizona Cardinals to bring back Rodney Gunter. I was hoping that they would bring him back. That would not have been a good loss because he was good for them.
It's time for the Coors Light What's On Tonight. So the games that we're going to be watching tonight brought to you by Coors Light. Cold lagered, cold filtered, Blue Mountain.
What do you got?
National championship game.
Texas Tech.
Virginia.
What do you got?
I've got Virginia. My bracket doesn't have any of these teams, but no. if you're asking me who I have now, if I could go back, I have Virginia winning.
I want Virginia to win. I'm going to take Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech wins.
So that bet pays off for that guy?
I don't know. I just think Texas Tech is on this unbelievable run.
They are on a run. First time national champion, whoever it is that ends up winning it.
These games have been good, too. I mean, these games have been, the Elite Eight and the Final Four games were pretty exciting. And yeah. You could knock the Texas Tech game, but I'm telling you, the last 5 minutes of that game was pretty exciting.
It was. No, it was. And the last minute, 2 minutes of that Virginia game was pretty exciting, too. The over-under on tonight's game, this is a little factoid from Darren Revelle. The over-under on tonight's game is 119.5 points. Only one title game in the last 35 years has had fewer than 120 points.
Wasn't Villanova-Georgetown.
No, it was not.
It was not Villanova-Georgetown.
It was far more recent than that.
Which one?
This decade. UConn 53, Butler 41.
UConn, Butler, man, I was going to say Butler.
UConn 53, man. Butler 41. By the way, on the news that John Rothstein from CBS Sports tweeted out about ASU head coach Bobby Hurley expected to be at the top of St. John's list to replace Chris Mullin.
Yes.
Doug Howler from The Athletic, ASU beat writer, he tweeted out, talked with St. John's AD in Dayton. He worked at Duke when Bobby played there. Loves him, knows the family, told me he watches ASU all the time. Doesn't mean you can get him. But there's a familiarity there with the AD at St. John's and Bobby Hurley and John Rothstein.
I love St. John's, but I think it's more of a lateral move than it is an upgrade. It's not a great program. It hasn't been in quite some time.
A full edition of The Rundown with Luke Lipinski is next. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.